Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holidayinstall to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only. Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
We are a weekly podcast, Soul of a Gamer.
Hey, I'm smart this time. Well, I did not, this
let's
time.
Let's not go that far, okay?
I will fuck it up again.
I love pressing that button. That was my favorite button.
Yes. Definitely.
This game gets really fucking weird.
Yeah, so you do acid and then you go into the hamster shit.
And this week is
Night Trap.
Night Trap.
They're right behind you, Night Trap.
10-year-old birthday party. Next scene, kill the kid.
You got to kill the kid. Sha la 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 la, car is coming. Throw your body into the car and die. All I could do every time I was playing Ethan was just would start walking around and go, Jason!
Oh, God. It's
just...
Screw you!
I had things
Screw
prepared
you.
Ahead of time.
Screw you like and your head co-host. Full of no hair. See how I changed
wow.
it?
Wow.
See how I didn't say bald?
Jokes right away.
No, I didn't say bald.
It's a bald joke whether you
no,
called
it's
me
not.
Bald or not.
I used the word hair.
You said no hair.
Hair was in it.
You might as well call me a naked mole rat, you bastard.
Hey, everyone.
Hi.
We are Soul of a Gamer podcast. I'm Scott.
And I'm Baldy. Stephen McGee.
Bald Stephen McGee. Not,
Baldy McGee.
Not to be confused with Stephen McGee with hair.
He hasn't been around for like 7-8 years.
There's probably one out there. And McGee cannot be that.
Oh, like, no, dude. I know there's another Stephen McGee out there. Specific. Yeah. Actually, there's two, at least, I know of.
There's probably 1,000.
There
have
was
to
a backup
assume.
Dallas quarterback that was Stephen McGee, but he spelled it P-H.
Did
like
he have
bitch.
Hair?
He did.
He did have hair, so it looks like we got one. And I'm pretty sure that was recent, right? In, like, the last 10 years or something? No,
yeah,
last 15
yeah,
years.
Yeah. Probably around, like, 2015 time.
Yeah, yeah. We are not doing a regular episode this week, guys. We are doing a Hot Takes.
Hot Takes.
We're going to take a month off of gaming for the moment so I can catch up on some school stuff. So instead, we're going to release a Hot Takes episode every week. That way we can just give you something, you know?
Yeah.
So today's Hot Takes. What are we doing today, Steven?
Well, today we are doing the best games of the 1900s. We both. Picked pretty much only 90s games, so...
Only 90s? Yeah, I mean, what the fuck? Again, what else are you going to choose?
Yeah. And then we are also doing... this one we got a little confused on in our messages to each other, so I'm going to be doing games that would be great to adapt to television series, and Scott's going to be doing movies or TV shows that would be great to adapt to video games.
Yep. We are oppositing it.
Yes. Because we are really, really dumb and don't communicate well sometimes.
Actually, I think that's cooler. I think
it was really cool. I'm
going to
take
so.
It. Like, yeah.
All right. Well, we'll start with the games. And we made a rule pretty much, like Steven said, 1900. So that means anything before the year 2000.
Yes.
So nothing 2000 and up. We might do another one on this where maybe we separated into like, oh my God, we're not going to separate fucking 2000 to 2010 into 10 years. We'll probably do like a 5-year span for that one.
Probably. I mean, like, seriously, just like the year of 2003 and 2004 alone. I'm
oh,
just,
my
like,
God.
God, there's
just,
so many crazy
maybe we
things.
Just do the year 2003, 4, 5.
We might have to.
I think until 2010, games were fucking coming out left and right that were just bangers. And then now you get a good one every like 2 or 3 years.
Nah, I think the last few years we've had a lot of really good games.
You know, I'm going to agree. I think you're right, but I don't think it's the same as when we were younger.
I think with the saturation in the market being so much more than it's ever been, it looks a lot worse than it does because there's so much more shitty games now.
Yeah, and then publishers aren't willing to take any risks on really fucking awesome ideas. So
unless you're like Larian.
unless you're like not willing to make money. That's these publishers are pieces of shit, dude. They're like, we only made $600 million from this game. It was a complete failure. Like, well, okay. Dude.
It's kind of like really sad to hear. Hi-Rez just laid off like half of its staff. They're cutting all esports from Smite.
Yeah.
I'm so sad.
I wonder if Smite 2 is going to get really affected with it.
So they're super focusing on Smite 2. That's the one thing that they're saving. So they said that they've cut like all their other side projects now. They've cut a lot of games they were working on and a lot of games that were like MOBAs and stuff that were live service games. And they're strictly like, we're only working on Smite 2.
Well, live service is just becoming such a toxic fucking thing.
Yeah. Like, it really is.
And it's not that it's a bad idea. I actually like live service games a lot. I think a few companies have really fucked it for everyone.
That's true. And there's good ways to do it and bad ways to do it. And there's too many bad ways to do it out there.
Oh my God. I mean,
it's so easy to make money in bad ways and be scummy. Because if you're not scummy, I mean, you're losing out on millions of dollars.
Yep.
Unfortunately, that's just the way it is. So unless these companies are like, we're okay making less money, which most people aren't, that's just going to be the way it is.
I mean, but that's not always the case. Like when people present something that's amazing, think about the early days of Fortnite, right? That's a live service game. It had the most popularity of any game. They did really cool things. They're still doing, I think, cool things. I never really got into it too much
because
it's too cartoony for me, but other people fucking love it. Like, I think they did it right, but then you get fucking EA in there with the bullshit Battlefront and then bullshit Battlefield whatever, the one from the future, and then Suicide Squad coming out and everyone trying to be GTA at this point. Like, everyone trying to make the money that GTA has, and like, you can't do that. GTA did it fucking perfect. You can't replicate their fucking sales.
Yeah, no.
God.
I'm excited for GTA 6 coming out this year, though.
I am, too. Like, GTA is that one exception where I'm like, keep doing live service. You know how to fucking do it.
That's because they actually know how to do it. Like, honestly.
And just being, like, the coolest people in the world helps a little bit, too.
Yeah, it really does. So,
actually making games that people want. That's a thing.
Yes. All right. Should we get into this a little bit?
Yeah, let's get started. Let's stop shitting on the fucking publisher.
All right. You want to go first?
Sure. With my first game, and this is not like best games of all time, guys. These are just our opinions of what we feel like were strong games from, at least for us, the 90s.
Because Yeah.
I'm not doing any games from the fucking 70s. I could tell you Pong, and that's about all I know from the
70s. Yeah. We don't have a lot of knowledge.
And I'm not fucking talking Pong today. Nope. Today we are talking Donkey Kong 64.
Oh, ooh, 64
dude, you know,
even.
You know, there's like only a few Donkey Kong games that I actually like. I did not like Donkey Kong Country. It's not just hard. They're just not, they're boring. That's all it is. Like, there's no interesting storylines. There's like sure, gameplay is kind of fun, but I don't know. It's just not that great. But then you come to Donkey Kong 64 and you have this fucking vivid, huge story that's just told perfectly, and then it kind of takes the idea of Mario and even makes it better because it adds more characters you can play as. You know, you get to do Diddy Kong and Donkey Kong and God, what's his name? The long arm dude, Lanky Kong.
Oh, I think Lee. Cindy Kong as well.
Cindy Kong, and then the big guy, the guy with the bazooka who's a scaredy cat.
I fucking can't remember his name.
Whatever his name was, it's been so long since I played. I need to get back in, but I'm kind of waiting for the Switch to release it so I can not have to emulate it. But if I have to emulate it, I have to emulate it.
Yeah.
Just the emulation for that game is not always amazing, so I have to find a really good one.
That's
But the game just had so much to offer. It had these role-playing elements in it where you had to unlock shit. It had a collector's element into it where you didn't get bored finding shit. Like, you didn't get bored looking for the bananas. Hmm. You didn't get bored looking for the little coins that you can get in the game. You didn't get bored looking for everyone's stuff. Like, you unlocked Donkey Kong's little dual gun things that he had that shoots the coconuts, and then you're like, well, Diddy Kong has one that like is a fucking auto fire, why won't I try to unlock that next? Like, I think this game just did a really cool thing where they kind of changed the element of how these kind of games can go. Because I think before it was really like specific, you know?
Yeah.
And I think with Donkey Kong 64, they really did an amazing job in changing it up.
I actually never played Donkey Kong 64. That's one of the few Donkey Kong games I haven't played.
It's one of the best exploration games. And honestly, the map is so fucking vivid.
Cool.
Yeah, the unlocking in that map is insane. Like, I know you like Banjo-Kazooie, but the map in Banjo, some of them were cool, but a lot of them were shit. But in this one, they're holy crap, they're all fucking cool.
Are they all the tree level good?
Oh, they really are, honestly. They did really good work.
Damn, okay. Let's check it out.
Yeah. What's yours? What you got first?
Yeah, well, I'm going to not go with like the ones we've talked about a lot. So I'm not going to go Banjo-Kazooie. I'm not going to go Mario 64. So I'm going to go with...
both those games are not very good, so...
Fuck off. I'm going to go with Age of Empires 1 and 2. Actually, nice. Both of these came out before 2000. I love these strategy games. These were some of my first like strategy-based games I had ever played. I love getting to play as all these different cultures, getting to play through different times. The story was fun. The multiplayer was the best, especially doing
the evolution of everything
game.
In that game was fucking insane.
Dude, seriously, it's so good. Loved all the cheats you could do in the game too. Yep. We found all those, like there was like
get the flying dogs or whatever.
There was like the Tonka toy, like code or whatever that gave you like a spy vehicle with rockets or something that.
It was a Cobra something.
Yeah.
Cobra 6 or something like that.
You could summon Nazgul, I think, as well. It was one of the cheats.
But again, you could change all of the birds into flying dogs. It was fucking amazing.
that's hilarious. But this game was just really cool. Really fun. The resource management. Really fun, like, race against time. I really loved doing, like, the conquest mode and just doing, like, till either world domination or doing till building of a wonder. Like, just really focusing on the build portion of it and then just building crazy defenses and not even going out and attacking other people. Just, I'm going to build a fort so big and then I'm going to build the Pyramid of Giza and you guys aren't going to be able to fuck with me. Like, it was just always so much fun. I don't know. I still love to go back to those games down today. I actually play probably Age of Empires 2 more than to play any of the other ones in the series, to be honest.
Yeah, you know, I tried Age of Empires 4 at one point, and it was okay. It's just a lot different.
It is. Same with 3. It just was a little bit too different and just had a weird feel to it. It wasn't just perfect. But like the remastered of 2 especially is so good.
It's on Game Pass and everything. I think they increased the population count by like 250. Yeah. They did so much for that remake. It was so fucking good.
I love it so much. But yeah, that's one of my main ones.
Nice. I like it. I like it a lot. Yeah. All right. We're on to number 2 then. Let me pull out my handy little list here.
Okay.
We're going to be talking Sonic the Hedgehog. Well, of course we got to bring up Sonic the fucking Hedgehog here. And I'm going to go specific Sonic the Hedgehog 2. I like number 1, but number 2 is far superior to it. And honestly, I would even say that Sonic 3D, one of my favorite fucking games. Okay. You know, this is the first foray. There weren't a lot of games back in the day where you had like the active ability to cheat. And we were talking about this Age of Empires just a second ago. Like, the cheats kind of make the game cool and fun, even if you're doing it just to fuck around. Like,
yeah,
in this game, it's the same. Like, you could do cheats in the beginning to pick your level. Like, it was so fucking cool back in the day. And to me, you could always have fun playing Sonic. With Mario, like, you'd play the first level, and then after the first level, I feel like you just stop for the replayability. And you get into the cavern level and you're like, this isn't as fun as what I remember. Maybe you play Mario World a little bit more because it's much better.
Yeah, I only play pretty much World and World 3.
Yeah.
Or Bros. 3.
Because those are the good ones. But Sonic, all the Sonics to me were good. Every single one were playable until the end. Like, and that's a big thing. In a lot of the Mario games, you give up. But in almost all the Sonic games, you keep going until you... So you beat Eggman and his giant robot. Do you beat Shadow the Hedgehog? You know, I mean, I could even throw Sonic Adventure on this list because that game, I believe, came out in 1999.
Okay.
So I think the Sonic games really had some cool things going on up until 2006, where, you know, really shit the bed. But again, yeah, a lot of replayability, fucking amazing gameplay, amazing characters. You could multiplayer it and compete with who did it fastest.
Gotta say, I haven't gotten into them as much as you have, but the times you forced me to play the games, I haven't hated them. I've liked them. I've just haven't been like absolutely in love with them still.
I think it's hard to come back to games now too. Like, you know, when I
played not a good modern Sonic game.
Oh yeah, well, it's never gonna. Well, Sonic Frontiers might be good. I still haven't played it.
I heard Frontiers is okay, but it gets a little meh at some points. But I heard the newest one, the new Shadow game, is really good. I've been hearing a lot of good things about that.
I hope so, because I really they need to, you know, come back and make something fucking amazing.
I agree.
Sega needs to have its heyday again.
All right. So I guess I'm going to go somewhere way different. And this one's a really obscure title, but it's one thing I just like, I kept on thinking about the more and more I was thinking about like 90s games. And this was Jungle Strike.
Jungle Strike.
This was a Super Nintendo game. You played as a lone Special Forces helicopter pilot who fends off terrorist attack in Washington, D.C. It's about as American sounding as it can get.
It sounds like it.
It's kind of like really Contra. Just like it was the second game in the series. The first game is called Desert Strike. I think there's a whole Strike series, if I remember right. But
the third game's called Space Strike,
or
first
Arctic
game's
Strike,
called Canada Strike. The fifth game's called like Puerto Rico Strike or something.
But I remember like there's times where like you have to the president's limousine. It's got a caravan of terrorists around it, and you have to like swoop in with your helicopter and shoot all the enemies. And then like someone, one of the, like the military vehicles blows up or something. You have to actually like drop down like this, this like rope or whatever to actually like pull people up. And you actually have to save civilians by like lowering ropes down to them and stuff.
What kind of game is this?
This was a Super Nintendo game. But you were literally like a helicopter. You controlled a helicopter. And you just shot like machine guns, missiles.
Almost like a flight third, not even third
person. Yeah, it's like a flight third person over the head map. So you can kind of like see buildings and stuff, and you could see little like people walking around and stuff, and you'd pick up your.
Is it like an 8-bit where it's like.
Oh, yeah, very much 8 or 16.
Okay, so 8-bit, so no like 3D.
It was like very. I don't think it was 3D. It was one of those like. 2D, 3D, where it had something like things that like it showed like a building and it kind of
had
3D,
some
but it was,
depth.
Like, a picture of a building. Yeah.
Some depth, but not actual like real depth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. It was a really like interesting game, but I don't know why. It was just one of the first games I had and it was one of the first games I played and I played a lot and my father really liked it a lot and I recalled that game quite a bit. So.
All right. I like the idea. And I lied to you guys. I actually do have one from the 80s. I kind of forgot this came out in the 80s. I think it came out in 88 and it wasn't called this originally.
Interesting.
Final Fantasy.
Okay.
It might have been 89. I can't remember. It might even have been 90, but it was one of those 3 years. It could have been 87. I know I'm changing my mind a lot. It might have been 86 even. Sometime between 86 and 90. But, you know, Final Fantasy, the original one, and again, it 87. Wasn't... 87. Okay, nice. It wasn't originally called Final Fantasy, I don't think. I think they changed that title later when they decided to link all these like not linkable places. But it had some really solid RPG fucking moments in that game. The building of all your characters, unlocking all the cool weapons, getting Excalibur, visiting the dwarves, like finding out that not only is this a fantasy world, but for some reason there's like a floating electronic city and you fight robots in it. Like it's a super interesting concept for a game. And then being able to A, get a boat, then B, get a flying ship. And then, so it's like, there were so many cool things about this game because of how much like vertibility you actually had.
Yeah.
The only thing that's shitty about the original Final Fantasy is there's no turning off random encounters. So you could be level 100, just I don't need to fucking farm anymore. I have infinite money and infinite everything. And you still got to fight like level 1 guys because it's a linear game. So.
Oh, annoying. Okay.
Yeah, but this is just one of those games that was just always so much fun to play. And honestly, you got to fight Tiamat in it too, and it was so fucking cool.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I'm always down for Tiamat.
Yeah, the first Final Fantasy really did do well, and I think that is probably my favorite one of all time. I'm going to get some heat for that, but it set a foundation that I think the rest of the Final Fantasies needed.
Okay, okay. I've really only played 7 Remake, 15, and 16 of the Final Fantasy series.
Yeah, I mean, I've only really played 1 and 7, so...
Okay.
And only the original 7, I didn't play the remake.
Let us know what your favorite Final Fantasy is if you're listening.
If you say anything, if you say 2, I'm going to fucking punch you in your balls or lady balls, whichever one you might have.
You know, I never hear like 3 or 4 talked about. I always hear like 7, 9, sometimes
yeah,
10,
eight,
sometimes
8
13.
Was really good, I heard.
Yeah.
But 2 is one of the worst ones. They decided to switch from like a normal level up system to a skill based level up system.
Okay.
So you level up your like short sword ability by hitting and missing constantly until you don't miss as much. And then you only miss 20% of the time instead of 89% of the time.
Okay.
Yeah, it was bad. It was not good. And you spent so many hours just leveling shit up. It was so fucking hard.
Yeah, some of those games are so grindy. Like, that's the only bad part about a lot of those like JRPG games.
I'm okay with grindy if it's not specific grind. Like in Skyrim, it's so much more fun leveling up specific skills, but in this game, it just was not.
Yeah, I do like Skyrim, how you can, like, the way you're leveling up in different ways, you're doing different things to do those
things. It's funny because it's the same exact kind of leveling. It's just one did it right, one did it wrong.
True.
That's the interesting part. Like, there is a right way to do it, and Final Fantasy 2 did not. So.
Fair.
All right, what's your last one? What do you got for us?
Last one. This one's kind of a cheat. A little bit of a cheat, because it's kind of like 6 games in one. This was Super Mario.
Okay.
Super Mario All-Stars. This was on the Super Nintendo.
Oh, nice.
This game included Super Mario Bros., Super Mario Bros. 2, Super Mario Bros. 3, Super Mario Bros. The Lost Levels, and they also featured improved graphics for a lot of the games, and sound, and in-cartridge saving, and a battle game for Super Mario Bros. 3, and notably, it was the first time the original Japanese Super Mario Bros. 2 was released to the West.
Nice.
I took that from Wikipedia, but
most notably,
yes. But
who's
seriously,
the author
though,
of that?
I fucking don't know. I didn't write.
Did
that
Did you
down
reference it in your APA
shit.
Styling?
I'm totally going to later. So
okay,
I don't...
whatever.
Totally, don't check me on that. but no, this game was a ton of fun. I loved being able to play through a lot of these games. The Super Mario Brothers games, honestly, are some of my favorites, especially 3. That was just so incredible. Lost Levels was a ton of fun, too. I think that was the first game that had Birdo in it. Iconic character. These games, especially being able to play, and this is actually what started Super Mario fucking Brawl, Smash Brothers.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, the little battle game actually became Smash Brothers later.
Oh, nice. That's cool.
Yeah, it was just this little like mini game like on the title screen, and it just had like a POW button in the middle, and then just like random creatures would come out from the sides, and you would have to attack each other and hit each other, and you could like throw green shells at each other from Koopas you take out or whatever. It was so weird and so fun, but it was a lot of crazy time.
And someone saw that and said, what if that green shell was a Pikachu?
Yeah.
Yep. You're making money now.
Shut up and take my money.
Right. But yeah. Well, let's jump into our next little segment. We'll have you head this one off first now. You're doing games you think should be TV shows or movies, depending on how you feel about them. But I'm going to guess mostly TV shows.
Mostly TV shows, just because you get a longer format. Yeah.
Yeah, honestly.
So much better.
Guys, they need to stop doing games as fucking movies. If there's a story, it's way too fucking long to contain inside of a movie.
There's certain video games I think that can do it, but
yeah, really
I just haven't seen
ones.
Like Tomb Raiders or Uncharted or Indiana Jones, like any of those style of things, like those work perfectly for it because it could just be one mission or one adventure.
I like how you said, or Indiana Jones, which, you know, is a movie series if they turn into a game.
Hey, it's still something I said.
You're right. Like the thing you miss most about a lot of games is like the characterizations from. Mm-hmm. Like, and you don't get that in movies. You can't spend as much time developing a character's role. But in a like in the game, like you missed that aspect of it. But in games like Indiana Jones, you don't. I mean, sure, you had fun swinging from this place to that place, but you can miss it. It'll be fine.
But also, unless the game takes place in like a real world scenario, you kind of have to have world building.
Yeah,
of some sort. Like, what time frame is this? What planet is this? Where? What kind of creatures are we dealing with?
We don't want the Gears of War movie, guys. Just fucking move on already.
I will go ahead and start off by game franchise. I talk about way too much, but I think this would be perfect for an anthology series.
Okay,
Far Cry.
Which one?
Okay, we start out as an anthology series, one game per season.
Okay.
And this is what we start out with, three, obviously. And then I think we maybe go five, just because there's been a lot of like Civil War kind of movies and stuff kind of recently.
Yeah.
And that kind of aspect to it and like apocalyptic kind of shit. And then we go maybe either going back to one and two being a longer two-part season because they go together, or you go to Far Cry 6 and you get Juan Carlo Esposito to reprise his role because in him, Danny
He's
Trejo,
perfect.
You get a lot of really big celebrities that are already in it. That would be perfect.
When did 6 come out? Wasn't that like 2015, 2016?
I think it was like 2020 or 2018.
Oh, okay, so they're not too old.
Yeah, it's not
Danny
too bad.
Trejo, I know, was like in his 70s or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, Juan Carlos Esposito is up there in age too, but he even is playing an older dying character.
Yeah.
So it's perfect for the role, especially seeing him in things like Breaking Bad. Like, he plays that role, that villainous role, and he did all the like acting and voice acting for that character. So it's just iconic. But I think that would be such a fun series to do it as one season, especially because, and I think you do have to start with season three or game three. But I think even going back to Far Cry 1 would be really cool, because Far Cry 1 honestly has one of the coolest stories of all of them.
Yeah,
because it's way weirder, because it's actually like Native American medicine mixed with modern science to make genetic superhumans that end up becoming these like ultimate predators that can like see heat vision and have extra strength and speed and durability.
It's literally the Predator.
Yeah, I know, it's ridiculous.
And you get
like
Arnold Schwarzenegger
more
just in the background yelling, "Get to the Jabba!"
Exactly. Just,
he should be. Yeah. If they make one, I think Arnold Schwarzenegger should be a bad guy in it.
Are we going through my full list and then going through your full list, or are we going back and forth?
No, we'll go back and forth here.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a TV series that I think would make a fucking excellent game.
Go for it.
In fact, a series of games, or even like a live service game. So I'm going to talk about Revolution.
Okay.
So this was a TV series in the late 2000s, early 2010s, where essentially entirety of humanity is just like blacked out. They create someone creates these nanomachines, and the nanomachines realize that humans are just killing each other with technology. So they shut off all technology.
Jesus. Okay.
Any electricity, they don't allow it to happen. So you can't have any electricity. It's crazy. And you know, it like jumps into things like, people who live in Europe or in America for the time, and they can't get home now. Like, they're fucking stuck here, and vice versa. Like, it goes pretty deep into like a world where you can do a shit ton with a fucking game. I think either as an RPG live service or as like a what is that game series where you have guns and stuff? You're in like a big city.
Game series with guns and stuff in a big city.
It's a live service game, I believe.
Oh, are you talking about The Division?
Yes, The Division. Our buddy Nathan used to love this fucking game.
Yep.
And like that game reminds me a lot of what the concept of this game could be as like a first-person shooter.
Okay.
I think as a live service game, or even as like a giant fucking world, first-world shooter game or first-person shooter game, this game would fucking rock it.
There was a movie that came out, I think it was like 2011 or something, called The Darkest Hour, where there's these like alien ball, like weird like ball creatures that were invisible, but they like generate electricity, but they ate electricity around the world.
I think I remembered. Isn't it based out of Russia or something?
I I think so.
I think they're in Russia. Yeah. I think I saw this movie and I didn't think it was very good.
It's not the greatest. And I had it in 3D, so I showed everybody because it was one of the first 3D movies I got.
I think Revolution would be probably one of the best games ever. But sorry, finish your thought.
No, I was just saying just the whole like attacking electricity kind of thing or just getting rid of electricity was... It's an interesting concept, to be honest.
Honestly, and like the show didn't get time to flesh out the ideas, but I think a game would. I honestly do.
That's fair.
No.
So you'd want it to be Division-like, though?
Yeah, Division-like, probably. I think they already have a good formula for this, so...
Okay.
They just have to write out a cool story.
All right. All right. Next one for me. This one is one of our games that we both fell in love with. I think Lost in Random would be a fantastic animated TV show.
That would be so fucking cool.
Expand
on that world because it's so fucking interesting.
I think you can make each section, like each dice world or whatever, like ones, twos, threes, fours, be like 2 to 3 episodes.
Yeah, where you could even a season. Honestly, you could expand that.
I don't want to make the 6 seasons. I think that'd make it too long.
Maybe, but it would be too long as a live action. As an animation, though, I think that'd be really fucking cool.
Maybe like half seasons and do it 3 seasons, like 1 and 2, 3 and 4, 5 and 6 or something.
Maybe. But like a lot of the world when we played the game, they did not explore like a lot of like the backstory. Like imagine how much they could as a complete fucking season per world or even half a season per world. You'd get so much out of that fucking thing.
I mean, there would be a lot more world building if you did do it that way. But
yeah.
I mean, if you're going with just like what's shown in the game, I don't know if you'd get more than a few episodes per area.
Get those writers in to write some extra shit since they already had like a whole idea behind the scenes.
I already have a director and stuff in mind for this. I would actually want Henry Selick of Nightmare Before Christmas fame to direct this.
Get out of here.
I think because he does that weird style, like almost Tim Burton-esque, and this is very Tim Burton-esque, but I don't want Tim Burton to do it because I don't like a lot of Tim Burton stuff. But I think that Henry Selick has better stuff. Like I like Coraline a lot better than a lot of Tim Burton stuff.
If he does it, he would have a fucking heyday in the two world because that was like the creepiest world of all of them, man. He would fucking love that shit.
And I think it'd be really interesting, and especially if you got all the original voice actors or people that sounded enough like them. Like, it would be really,
you could
really
probably
cool.
Get new people. Honestly, I don't even remember the voice acting in that game, so I'm sure I liked it, but it's not like it was Morgan Freeman, and like you can't replace that.
True. So. But I just think that would be a really like fun animated series that would just be really cool.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. All right. I'm going to go with a movie this time into a game.
Okay.
So Treasure Planet. If any of you were kids in the early 2000s, you remember Treasure Planet. It's like the one failed Disney movie, pretty much.
No, there's Atlantis and Iron Giant failed too. True.
Was Iron Giant Disney? I thought that was, I think that was someone else, but you're right with Atlantis. Yeah. Atlantis failed. Yeah. And it's like all the cool movies, of course, had fucking failed because Treasure Planet was awesome. Atlantis was fucking awesome.
Yeah, it was.
But Treasure Planet, we looked it up. They did have a game. It just wasn't a very good game. They need to make a fucking open world kind of Sea of Thieves, fucking amazing space battle exploration on planets kind of game because that would be so cool. Now, this one, I will say, this would benefit greatest as a live action game.
Live service game.
It's only because like I think the change that would need to happen in this game constantly, like we discovered a new planet, now you can go visit this planet, and like as a live service game, this game would be fucking phenomenal.
That's fair. I mean, I could see it being like one of those like kind of space exploration kind of games too.
Yeah, like and almost... not just that. Like, you're not stuck in this world of technology so much because they're more of like, it's almost Renaissance period technology, right?
Yeah, it's like steampunk Renaissance.
Yeah, and which I think is really fucking cool. And not a lot of people do that stuff for space exploration games.
If you could somehow mix together like a space exploration like ship game with a game that's kind of like Assassin's Creed or something, because you kind of want that like... high movement ability and stuff in that too.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. I lost my camera here for a second, but I'll get it back eventually. But yeah, I don't know. Like, just having it as, even like, again, Sea of Thieves is my best example for this because they already made a game for this kind of shit and made it perfect. True. So,
okay. Okay. I mean, that's just a franchise I want to see more into. That world is such a cool world. Honestly, like the ships and like the whales in space, like that's such some cool scenes and stuff that I would love to see in a video game format for sure. I think it would do really well.
Yeah. That was my thing on Treasure Planet. So
yeah.
Yeah. I think that would make a great game.
It definitely, definitely would. So my last game that I think would be a good TV show, and this one, it's already been made into a movie, but it was a failed movie. Really sucks. They really did a terrible job, terrible casting in every way.
What the fuck is it? Everything sucked about it.
Max Payne.
Oh yeah, it was basically.
I think
I'm gonna say something very controversial. It was an abortion on screen.
Jesus, that was such a shit movie in every way.
Who starred in that movie?
Mark Wahlberg and Mila
Oh,
Kunis.
That's right. It was Marky
awful.
Mark.
Yep. It's
you know who
so
would
bad.
Make a great Max Payne? I'm sure you have an idea in mind.
I have a couple. Yeah.
But the guy who played the Punisher in the Punisher TV series,
Thomas
on Netflix,
Jane.
Yes.
Oh no, would, no. You mean
no,
the
not Thomas Jane.
TV show.
Yeah. The TV show.
Yeah. I can't remember.
That guy
his
would
name.
Make a great fucking Max Payne.
I thought the first Punisher. Like the first movie Punisher would be a good one. Thomas Jane,
yeah, well,
he wouldn't be terrible.
The Punisher and Max Payne are so similar in so many ways mm-hmm. that it would be like anyone who's played the Punisher can play Max Payne.
The
so.
Other two thoughts I had were is Carl Urban from The Boys.
Yeah, that's good. I like
or,
it.
Or one that I kind of really like that I saw somebody else say too was Sebastian Stan. I think there's ways that he could pull it off.
So what'd you feel about Jensen Ackles doing it?
Ooh.
I actually kind of like that idea. I think he'd make a
great
He's
a little
Max
too
Payne.
Pretty, though.
He like, is a little too pretty, but I think they could like mess him up a little bit, and then he would make a fucking phenomenal Max Payne. He's got the ruggedness. The ruggedness is really what you need for a Max Payne, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no. I mean, it's a possibility. I think in... Besides the actors, though, I think that the person I want to direct this is Matt Reeves, who just did the Batman and the Penguin.
Yeah.
I think that because it's so much more of a noir style, but it's still got those good action pieces, this is what we need as far as a director. We need someone who's going to dive deep into the noir and go into the weird shit and be able to do like the drug shit and the cult shit super well and super dark.
Honestly, I would fucking separate the shit out of that stuff.
Separate all of it?
When we played the first Max Payne game, we did not like the way they did that story. There was just too much happening all at once. But if they were able to like really like simplify it a little bit. Keep the cult shit, man. The cult shit was fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And then take out all the weird sci-fi shit that they had for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can make it more like real to earth or like down to earth kind of thing. You don't have to have it be as wild and crazy, but you could still have like the cult kind of scenario working with like the head mobs or whatever.
God. And even having that lady shot in the head again. Holy fuck.
Yeah. There's a lot of really good things. And just like even doing the whole nightmare sequence of dealing with his dead wife and stuff over and over again, I think would be an interesting thing for television. Mm-hmm. Like, I just think this story needs to be done in a different way. And I don't think a movie is a good way to do it just because I don't think it gives you enough time. I think this is a interesting story. It's crazy. It's so energetic and high octane. Doing the bullet time, too, if you made it Matrix style and did that Wuxia art style, that would be so cool.
Well, and you know what? I would really appreciate them like it if it was a movie. You would have to make 6 fucking 2-hour movies just to get that first game story going in a really like good direction.
I don't, you know what, actually I take back Maybe not have Matt Reeves. Maybe have the Wachowski sisters do this.
That would be cool. That would be, because they are really good at this kind of weird shit.
Yes.
So, yes. Yeah, I like the idea. I think Max Payne would make a great, like a real, and don't do the fucking.
Yeah,
when
yeah.
that movie come out, more it was down like 2004, 2005.
Something. I don't remember exactly, but God,
it could have been as late as 2010, but I don't think it quite hit the 2010 market. I blame Spider-Man on all this, by the way, because I feel like Spider-Man just made everyone say, well, we can do that, can't we? So
I don't know who to blame, because there's so many like pretty decent video game movies, and then there's some that are just like atrocious.
And then you get to fucking wasn't Ratchet and Clank, wasn't that turned into a movie?
It was, but I think that one actually did pretty decent.
Oh, I thought that was the bad one. Maybe it was Jack and Daxter was turned into one, and that one was bad. I don't remember. One of them was
that
really
one was
bad.
Rumored, but I think that got canceled.
Okay, one of them. It was one of those games, and it came out, and it did fucking terrible.
Okay.
It might have been. I think it was Ratchet and Clank, but I think they.
Well,
ended
I think
up doing
Ratchet and Clank
movies.
Might have had two movies, and I think the newest
yeah, and
one
I think
did
the
pretty
first
decent,
one
but the first
shit.
One was shit. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm pretty sure that sounds right. All right, so for my last one, a TV series, I think that could be adapted into a game. Not even could, it should. Fringe. Now, if you guys have never seen Fringe, this was like the craziest fucking shit in the world, where there's multiple realities, there's a future going on at the same time the present's going on, and in the future, like, it's funny because I think South Park either made fun of it or they stole the idea from South Park. I don't know which one it is, to be honest.
Interesting.
But in South Park, they have this guy come back from the future because everyone looks the same, but they need jobs.
Okay.
Okay, so they all start doing the menial labor jobs for like 5 cents an hour, so no one else can get a job. And it was basically a play on, like, you know, at the time there was a big thing for Mexicans coming over the border, taking the jobs, blah, blah, blah.
Trick or treat.
Yeah, literally, it's that. It's literally that. But this is similar. We have a future world where everyone essentially looks the same, but all the love has been taken out of the world.
Okay.
So, like, you don't have children because you love them. You have children to keep the population going. And then the current world, like, has a big crisis because some guy stole someone else's son from a different fucking dimension because his son died in his dimension. Like,
crazy. Okay.
It's a weird fucking world. And there's a bunch of like sci-fi shit going on all at the same time. Like, it would be an interesting game. I think with the dimension hopping, especially, it would be fucking crazy to have an RPG kind of style game.
Okay.
With this kind of aspect going on in it.
Ooh, I randomly, while you were talking, thought of another like Netflix movie that would be a good video game.
What's that?
It was a
honorable mentions.
Yeah, it was called Power, I believe is what it was called.
Pow Pow?
No, it's just Power. I think it starred Jamie Foxx, but every
Pow Pow.
And I think it had Machine Gun Kelly in it, possibly too.
Oh my God, it sounds terrible.
No, it was actually a pretty cool movie. But basically what it is, there was this drug that was going out. It's like a dystopian kind of world, like kind of based in modern times. But there was this drug, and it was this pill. You took this pill, and everyone had an inner animal inside of them. And when you took this pill, you got some sort of power to be from your animal that you were.
Are you fucking kidding me? You are describing Animorphs.
No, it's not quite that, because you don't get you don't turn into the animal.
I know. I'm fucking.
But yeah, I know what you mean. But so like Jamie Foxx actually has, he's like he's the mantis shrimp.
Oh my God.
He's
got
like
the fastest
crazy
punch in the world, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's the most powerful punch. It can boil water. It can punch it over 120 miles an hour. So he can just like snap his fingers and cause like crazy explosions and generate insane force. It's so cool, but I mean, you could do a lot of really cool things with that in a world. I think it would be really fun.
You can be a mantis shrimp.
You don't
turn
into a
mantis
shrimp.
It's Animorphs.
No, you don't turn into it. You just get their powers.
Honorable mention, Animorphs. Make it into a fucking game.
I don't know if that would even be a good game.
Probably not, but you could play as the rat or something.
Like that would be like the Animorphs, like they didn't really like use their power for more than just like exploration and investigation into shit.
Like, they're like, we gotta figure out who killed this guy. Turn into an eagle. Deal on it. I figured it out. It was me. I killed him.
I mean, I really liked the bottom.
I watched Animorphs when I was a kid. I don't remember it at all now. I know it's based on a book series.
I didn't even a lot of times read the books. I just flipped through the books because the bottom of the book had that like thing where you could like fly through it and it would show you the transformations, and it was really nice, really cool. And
some of that
cover that could change.
I'm gonna give you guys one more thing here before we just sign out. But do you remember that show? It was like a guy got turned into a dog by like a Native American, I think. You know what I'm talking about, where he had to do like 100 good deeds?
No. The only
you
like,
don't know this show?
Person
okay, so
dog thing I'm talking about is Wilfred.
No. Well, that's much different from what I'm talking about. It was like a bully. He was a big bully, and I think he bullied like a Native American, and the Native American laid a curse on him and turned him into this kid he was bullying, his dog, and he could talk to the kid, but no one else. And he had to do 100 good deeds, because if he did 100 good deeds, he would turn back into a regular person.
What the fuck? 100 deeds for Eddie McDowd.
Is that what it's called? I can't remember. I think it was a Nickelodeon show.
It seems like the thing you're talking about.
It's probably that one.
It's got 41 episodes, came out in 99 to 2002.
Yeah. That sounds about right for the fucking timeline. I used to love that show. It was so stupid, but it's so fucking interesting.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
That is very
Read the synopsis. I want to hear the synopsis. All right, guys, you get one more thing. We're going to read the synopsis of 100 Good Deeds for Eddie McDowd.
Let me go back.
This is probably the first time anyone's thought about this fucking show and since it came out in 2000 or whatever.
Dude, I love doing this kind of stuff though. Sometimes just like coming up with like talking about the most random shit ever.
It's true. God, you guys should watch this. It was actually kind of cool. Like, it's kind of cool to be like, don't be a fucking bully or a Native American's gonna find you and turn into a fucking dog.
Okay, this is a really short synopsis.
I'm
a
sure.
bully is transformed into a dog that must perform 100 good deeds with the help of a shy classmate.
It doesn't say whether. God damn it! I'm hoping I'm not making up the fact that it was a Native American, but I'm like 80% sure on that one.
I have no idea.
I'll rewatch the first episode and I'll get back to you guys on that. It's probably somewhere.
It's not on any services that
Shut
I can see.
Shut the fuck up! I will find it. I can't tell
sure
you how because then Disney will find me or something, but.
Yeah, I don't know, but I the first two reviews are this show sucks or 10 out of 10.
Yep, that sounds about right for this show. Right down the middle. It's like I watched this as a kid. It's amazing. And then I tried this show now and it fucking blows.
Oh god. All right, that sounds like way weird.
We're going to watch that one day. We'll do an episode on it. We'll let you guys know how much we hate it and we love it.
All right. I'm done.
All right, guys. It was great talking with Steven here.
Yeah,
he's bald, just so you remember. So everyone knows.
Thanks for that. But at least I'm losing weight, so I'm not a fat bald anymore.
Yeah, just a bald.
Yeah,
just a skinny bald guy. I don't know if that's any better, actually.
I'll take it, you know.
Adjectives.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. We'll catch you on the next episode, guys. Like we said, we're taking a month off from playing games. We'll likely do episodes like this for a month, and we'll see where that takes us.
Yes. Please come and listen and tell us what topics you want us to talk about next.
Yeah. Tell me.
Yeah. Yes, queen.
Bye.
Bye. Love you.
No.
Oh, why is it taking so